Chapter 24. Holidays. Quote, "If the master of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not left his house to be broken through." Unquote. Luke chapter 12, verse 39. In an address on education, Edward Thring, that's T-H-R-I-N-G, says, quote, "The mighty leisure hours of their occupations are all powerful. The mighty question of leisure hours ought to be the most important question of all, since it affects the character most. Leisure hours are the hinge on which true education turns." Unquote. This great master in the science of education had seen that noble character and the truth of being come first, and then after that, as second, the training of skill and strength. He had seen, too, that while a teacher can do much in word and deed, by high belief and true work to stimulate and to guide, every boy has to work out his own character. And because it is in the leisure hours, when free from constraint and observation, that the boy shows what is really uppermost within him, that he spoke of the leisure hours as an all-important and all-powerful, the hinge on which true education turns. In religion, this is intensely true. Thousands of students have felt it without knowing how to express or explain it. At college or school, their morning watch has had its place in their timetable. The whole mind is braced up to regular and systematic work, and the time for devotion is as duly kept as that for a class or private study. When the time of relaxation comes and one is free to do exactly as one likes, many a one finds that the morning watch and its fellowship with God had not become so natural, such a necessity of the spiritual life, and such joy that its observance could not interfere with our holiday pleasure. The holiday becomes the test of character, the proof of how far one could say with Job, quote, "I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food." Unquote. The question of leisure hours is indeed all important. In them I turn freely and naturally to what I love most. In them I prove and increase the power to hold what I have. A teacher in a large school in America is reported to have said, quote, "The greatest difficulty with which we have to contend is the summer vacation. Just when we have brought a boy up to a good point of discipline and he responds to the best ideas, we lose him. And when he comes back in the autumn, we have to begin and do it all over. The summer holiday simply demoralizes him." Unquote. This statement, referring to ordinary study and duty, is strong. Within certain limits, it is no less applicable to the religious life. The sudden relaxation or regular habits and the subtle thought that perfect liberty to do as one likes means perfect happiness throws many a young student back in his Christian life. There is no point at which it is more needful that older and more experienced members of the student association should help and guard their young members than this. The attainment of months may be lost by the neglect of a week. We know not in what hour the thief cometh. The spirit of the morning watch means unceasing vigilance all the day and every day. There are various aspects in which the danger and safety from it may be put before the student. With the holiday, we are set free from the school laws under which we live during our stay there. But there are other laws, laws of mortality, laws of health, from which there is no relaxation. Let the student be warned that the call to daily fellowship with God belongs not to the former, but the latter class. As much as he needs every day during the holidays to eat and breathe, he needs every day to eat the bread and breathe the air of heaven. Make it clear that the morning watch is not only a duty, but an unspeakable privilege and pleasure. Fellowship with God, abide in Christ, loving the Word, meditating on it all the day, to the new nature, these things are life and strength, health and gladness. Look upon them in this light. Believe in the power of the new nature within and act upon it. Though you do not feel it, it will come true. Count it a joy, and it will become a joy to you. Above all, realize that the world is needing you and depending on you to be its light. Christ is waiting for you as a member of his body, day by day, to do his saving work through you. Neither he nor the world nor you can afford to lose a single day. God has created and redeemed you that through you he may, as unceasingly as through the Son, he lightens the world. Let his light and life and love shine out upon them. You need every day anew to be in communication with the fountain of all light. Do not think of asking for a holiday relief from this intercourse. Still less, take it. Prize the holiday for the special time it gives you to study what lay outside your ordinary Bible study course. Prize your holiday for the special opportunity of more fellowship with the Father and the Son. Instead of its becoming a snare, instead of all your energy being exhausted and just being kept from losing ground, prize the holiday for a blessed time for grace and victory over self and the world, of great increase of grace and strength, of being blessed and made a blessing. End of chapter 24, read by Pete. Chapter 25, The Inward and the Outward. Quote, ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Unquote. Luke chapter 11, verse 40. Every spirit seeks to create for itself a form or shape in which its life is embodied. The outward is the visible expression of the hidden inward life. The outward is generally known before the inward. Through it, the inward is developed and reaches its full perfection, as the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46, quote, how that is not first which is spiritual, but which is natural, then that which is spiritual, unquote. To understand and maintain the right relation between the inward and the outward is one of the greatest secrets of the Christian life. If Adam in paradise had not listened to the tempter, his trial would have resulted in the perfecting of his inward life. It was his sin and his ruin and the cause of all his misery that he gave himself up to the power of the visible outward world instead of seeking his happiness in the hidden inward life of a heart in which God's command was honored in the inward disposition of love and faith, of obedience and dependency. He fixed his desire on the world without him, on the pleasure and the knowledge of good and evil that it could give him. All false religion, from the most degrading idolatry to the corruption of Judaism and Christianity, has its roots in this, that what is outward, what can please the eye or interest the mind or gratify the taste, takes the place for that truth in the inward part, that hidden wisdom in the heart and life which God seeks and gives. The great mark of the New Testament is that it is a dispensation of an inner life. The promise of the new covenant is, quote, I will put my law in their inward parts and in their hearts will I write it, unquote. Quote, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will put my spirit within you, unquote. The promise of the Lord Jesus was, quote, the spirit of truth shall be in you. In that day ye shall know that I am in you, unquote. It is in the state of the heart that religion consists, in a heart into which God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, a heart in which the love of God is shed abroad, that true salvation is found. The inner chamber with its secret intercourse with the Father, who seeth in secret, is the symbol and the training school of the inner life. The true and faithful daily use of the inner chamber will make the inner hidden life strong and glad. In all our religion, the great danger is giving more time and interest to the outward means than the inward reality. It is not the intensity of your Bible study, it is not the frequency or the fervency of your prayers or good works that necessarily constitute a true spiritual life. No. What we need is to realize that as God is a spirit, so there is a spirit within us that can know and receive Him and become conformed to His likeness and be partaker of the very dispositions that animate Him as God in His goodness and love. Quote, firmly settle this in thy mind, that all our salvation consists in the manifestations of the natural life and spirit of Christ Jesus in our outward and inward new man. This alone renews and regains the first life of God in the soul of man. Wherever thou goest, whatever thou doest, at home or abroad in the field, so do in a desire of union with Christ, in imitation of his tempers and inclinations, and long for nothing desire nothing so much as that which exercises and increases the spirit and life of Christ in thy soul, and to have all within thee changed into the temper and spirit of the Holy Jesus. Consider the treasure which thou hast within thee, the Savior of the world, the eternal Word of God. Hide in thy heart as a seed of the divine nature, which is to overcome sin and death within thee, and regenerate the life of heaven again in thy soul. Turn to thy heart, and thy heart will find its Savior, its God, within itself. Thou seest and feelest nothing of God, because thou seekest for him abroad, in books, in the church, in outward exercises, but there thou wilt not find him till thou hast first found him in thy heart. Seek for him in thy heart, and thou wilt never seek in vain. For there he dwells, there is the seed of his light and Holy Spirit. Unquote. End of chapter 25, read by Pete. Chapter 26, the daily renewal, its power. Quote, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Unquote. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Quote, according to thy mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Unquote. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. With every new day, the life of nature is renewed. As the sun rises again with its light and warmth, the flowers open and the birds sing, and life is everywhere stirred and strengthened. As we rise from the rest of sleep and partake of our morning food, we feel that we have gathered new strength for the duties of the day. The inner chamber is the standing confession of the need of our inward life has of daily renewal too. It is only by fresh nourishment from God's Word and fresh intercourse with God Himself in prayer that the vigor of the spiritual life can be maintained and grow. Though our outward man perish, though the burden of sickness or suffering, the strain of work and weariness may exhaust or enfeeble us, the inward man can be renewed day by day. The quiet time and place with the Word and prayer are the means of the renewal. But only this, when as means they are animated by the divine power which works through them. That power is the Holy Spirit, the mighty power of God that worketh in us. Our study of the inner chamber and the inner life it represents would be defective if we did not give its due place to the daily renewal of the inward man, which it is the function of the blessed Spirit ever to work. In the text from Titus, we are taught that we have been saved, quote, saved by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, unquote. The two expressions are not meant to be a repetition. The regeneration is one great act, the beginning of the Christian life. The renewing of the Holy Ghost is a work that is carried on continuously and never ends. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we read of the progressive transformation of the Christian life, that it is by, quote, the renewing of the mind, unquote. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, while the word, quote, put off the old man, unquote, in the A-O-R-I-S-T, indicates an act done once for all, the word, quote, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, unquote, is in the present tense and points to a progressive work. Even so, in Colossians 3:10, we read, quote, ye have put on the new man, which is renewed, parenthesis, not has been, unparenthesized, in the image of him that created him, unquote. It is the blessed Spirit to whom we are to look, on whom we can count for, the daily renewal of the inner man in the inner chamber. Everything depends in our secret devotions upon our maintaining the true relation to the adorable third person of the Blessed Trinity, through whom alone the Father and the Son can do their work on saving love, through whom alone the Christian can do his work. That relation may be expressed in two very simple words, faith and surrender. Faith Scripture says, quote, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, unquote. The child of God, the very feeblest, who would in his morning devotion offer up prayer that should be pleasing to the Father and be a blessing to himself, must remember that he has received the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of prayer, and that his help is indispensable to enable him to pray effectually. Even so with the Word of God. It is by the Holy Spirit alone that the truth in its divine meaning and power can be revealed to us and do its work in our heart. If the daily renewal of the inward man in the morning hour is to be a reality, take time to meditate and to worship and to believe with your whole heart that the Holy Spirit has been given you, that He is within you, and that through Him God will work the blessing which He gives through word and prayer and the Word. Surrender. Do not forget that the Holy Spirit must have entire control. Quote, as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, unquote. It is the ungrieved presence of the Spirit that can give the Word its light and power and keep us in that blessed life of childlike confidence and childlike obedience, which is well-pleasing to God. Let us praise God for this wonderful gift, the Holy Spirit, in His renewing power, and let us look with new joy and hope to the inner chamber as the place where the inner man can indeed be renewed from day to day. So shall life be kept ever fresh. So shall we go on from strength to strength. So shall we bear much fruit, that the Father may be glorified. If all this be true, what need that we know the Holy Spirit aright? As the third person, it is His office and work to bring the life of God unto us, to hide Himself in the depth of our being and make Himself one with us, to reveal there the Father and the Son, to be the mighty power of God working in us, and to take control of our entire being. He asks but one thing, simple obedience to His leading. The truly yielded soul will find in the daily renewing of the Holy Ghost the secret of growth and strength and joy. End of chapter 26, read by Pete. Chapter 27, the daily renewal, the pattern. Quote, seeing that ye have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him, unquote. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Quote, if so be that ye heard him and were taught in him, that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth, unquote. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, 23, and 24. In every pursuit, it is of consequence to have the goal clearly defined. It is not enough that there be movement and progress. We want to know whether the movement be in the right direction, straight for the mark, and especially when we are acting in partnership with another on whom we are dependent. Do we need to know that our aim and his are in perfect accord? If our daily renewal is to obtain its object, we need to know clearly and hold firmly to what its purpose is. Quote, he hath put on the new man, which is being renewed unto knowledge, unquote. The divine life, the work of the Holy Spirit within us, is no blind force as in nature. We are to be workers together with God. Our cooperation is to be intelligent and voluntary. Quote, the new man is being renewed day by day unto knowledge, unquote. There is a knowledge which the natural understanding can draw from the Word, but which is without the life and the power, the real truth and substance which the spiritual knowledge brings. It is the renewing of the Holy Ghost that gives the true knowledge, which does not consist in thought and conception, but in an inward tasting, a living reception of the very things themselves, of which the words and thoughts are but the images. Quote, the new man is being renewed unto knowledge, unquote. However diligent our Bible study may be, there is no true knowledge gained any further than the spiritual renewal is being experienced. Quote, the renewal in the spirit of the mind, unquote, in its life and inward being alone brings true divine knowledge. And what is now the pattern that will be revealed to the spiritual knowledge which comes out of the renewal as its true and only aim? The new man is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Nothing less than the image, the likeness of God. That is the one aim of the Holy Spirit in his daily renewing. That must be the aim of the believer who seeks that renewing. This was God's purpose in creation. Quote, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, unquote. How little the infinite glory of these words is considered. For nothing less than this did God breathe his own life into man, that it might reproduce in man on earth a perfect likeness to God in heaven. In Christ, that image of God has been revealed and seen in human form. We have been predestined and redeemed and called. We are being taught and fitted by the Holy Spirit to be conformed to the image of the Son, to be imitators of God, and to walk even as Christ walked. How can the daily renewal be carried on? What can the daily Bible study and prayer profit unless we set our heart on what God has set his on? The new man being renewed day by day after the image of him that created him. In the second passage, we have the same thought expressed somewhat differently. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which, after God, according to the likeness of God, hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth, righteousness in God's hatred of sin and maintenance of the right. Holiness is God's ineffable glory and the perfect harmony of his righteousness and love, his infinite exaltation above the creature, his perfect union with him. Righteousness in man includes all God's will for our duty to him or our fellow men. Holiness, our personal relation to himself. As a new man has been created, so it has daily to be renewed, quote, after God in righteousness and holiness of truth, unquote. It is to secure this that the power of the Holy Ghost is working in us. It is to secure this that he waits for us day by day to yield ourselves to him in his renewing grace and power. The daily returning morning hour is the time for securing the daily renewing of the Holy Ghost into the image of God as righteousness and holiness of truth. What need of meditation and prayer to get the heart set upon what God is aiming at and get a true vision of the wondrous possibility, the inward man renewed day by day into the very likeness of God, changed into the same image as by the Spirit of the Lord. Christian student, let nothing less be thy aim or satisfy thine aspirations. The image of God, the life of God, is in thee. His likeness can be seen in thee. Separate no longer God and his likeness. Let every approach to him, let all trust in him, mean nothing less than finding him in his likeness wrought into thee by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Let this be thy daily prayer, to be renewed after the image of him who created thee. End of chapter 27. Reading from the book, The Inner Chamber and the Inner Life by Andrew Murray. This is being read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. It is not copyrighted. Feel free to make as many copies as you want. Picking up on chapter 28, The Daily Renewal, its cost. Quote, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Unquote. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Quote, be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Unquote. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It is not a little or an easy thing to be a full-grown, strong Christian. On God's side, it means that it costs the Son of God his life, that it needs the mighty power of God to new create a man, and that nothing less than the unceasing daily care of the Holy Spirit can maintain that life. From man's side, it demands that when the new man is put on, the old man is put off. Be put off. All the dispositions, habits, pressures of our old nature that makes up the life in which we have lived ought to be put away. All we have by our birth from Adam is to be sold. if we are to possess the pearl of great price. If a man is to come after Christ, he is to deny himself and take up his cross, to forsake all and follow Christ in the path in which he walked. He is to cast away not only all sin, but everything, however needful and legitimate and precious, that may become the occasion of sin, to pluck out the eye or cut off the hand. He is to hate his own life, to lose it, if he is to live in, quote, the power of an endless life, unquote. It is a solemn thing, far more solemn than most people think, to be a true Christian. This is especially true of the daily renewing of the inward man. Paul speaks of it as being accompanied and conditioned by the decaying of the outward man. The whole epistle, 2 Corinthians, shows us how the fellowship of the suffering of Christ, even to conformity to his death, was the secret of his life and power and blessing to the churches. Quote, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you, unquote. The full experience of the life in Christ in our own person, our body, our work for others, depends upon our fellowship in his suffering and death. There can be no large measure of the renewal of the inward man without the sacrifice, the decaying of the outward. To be filled with heaven, the life must be emptied of earth. We have the same truth in our second text, quote, be ye transformed in the renewing of your mind, end quote. The old house may be renewed and yet kept very much of its old appearance, or the renewal may be so entire that men exclaim, what a transformation. The renewing of the mind by the Holy Spirit means an entire transformation, an entirely different way of thinking, judging, deciding. The fleshly mind gives place to a, quote, spiritual understanding, unquote. Colossians 1:9, 1 John 5:20. This transformation is not obtained but at the cost of giving up all that is of nature. Quote, be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed, unquote. By nature, we are of this world. When renewed by grace, we are still in the world, subject to the subtle, all-pervading influence from which we cannot withdraw ourselves. And what is more, the world is still in us. As the leaven of the nature which nothing can purge out but the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, filling us with the life of heaven. Let us allow these truths to take deep hold and master us. The divine transformation by the daily renewing of our mind into the image of him who is far above can proceed in us no faster and no further than our seeking to be freed from every vesticle of conformity to this world. The negative, quote, be not fashioned according to this world, unquote, needs to be emphasized as strongly as the positive, quote, be transformed, unquote. The spirit of this world and the spirit of God contend for the possession of our being. Only as the former is known and renounced and cast out can the heavenly spirit enter in and do his blessed work of renewing and transforming. The whole world and whatever is of the worldly spirit must be given up. The whole life and whatever is of self must be lost. This daily renewal of the inward man costs much. That is, as long as we are hesitating or trying to do it in our own strength. When once we really learn that the Holy Spirit does all, and in the faith of the strength of the Lord Jesus have given up all, the renewing becomes the simple, natural, healthy, joyous growth of the heavenly life in us. The inner chamber then becomes the place for which we long daily to praise God for what he has done and is doing and what we know he will do. Day by day we yield ourselves afresh to the blessed Lord who has said, quote, he that believeth on me, out of him shall flow rivers of living water, unquote. Quote, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, unquote, becomes one of the most blessed varieties of our daily Christian life. End of chapter 28, read by Peter John, also known as Brian D. Chapter 29, Holiness, the Chief Aim of Bible Study. Quote, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. In his great intercessory prayer, our Lord spoke of the words which the Father had given him, of his own, giving them to his disciples, and of their having received and believed them. It was this that had made them disciples. It was their keeping these words that would really enable them to live the life and do the work of true disciples. Receiving the words of God from Christ and keeping them is the mark and power of true discipleship.